extend Christian greetings to each one this morning. Trusting that's your desire, that prayer you just sang, that you're going willing to be a sanctuary just for God. You know, the weather this morning is rather unpleasant outside. As I was thinking, sitting here and looking across the audience, you know, we have quite a few people gathered here this morning. Go back several hundred years. What would you have thought this morning if we would have had a gathering in the woods this morning somewhere? The only way that we would have been able to get together was out in the cold and that snow that's outside that window. How many of you would have still showed up because you wanted to be a living sanctuary? That's the faith that our forefathers stood for. And yet this morning, I count it a great blessing and a privilege that I can be shielded from the elements of the weather. And yet in the same time, my heart is burdened this morning for so many people who find themselves outside the Church of Jesus Christ. When we can have that warm fellowship within, we greet each one in that Master's name this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. It's a blessing to see various people present this morning in the desire to worship God. And that the blessing that I have think of this morning is the fact that this God that we serve has no backside. This God that we serve understands every language. This God that we serve understands every emotion in our life. And yet, he's looking down upon us this morning with a great care and tenderness. This morning, our title of our message is Results of a Living Faith. You know, we all say we want to be faithful men. We all say that we believe in faith. But if I would have an orange here this morning and I would tell you that there's something on the inside of that orange, you would believe it because you have seen it, probably most of you. But faith is believing in something that you never have really seen. Now, we want to look this morning at a character in the Old Testament and how his faith moved him. So often I believe we can do injustice to some of these Bible stories in the Old Testament because we instantly want to go to Hebrews 11 and we want to see the reward of faithfulness. But brothers and sisters, this morning we are experiencing rewards for faithfulness, but the greatest reward is still awaiting. And that's what excites me about the Christian life. As I think of that we're living in this times right now where we have an adversary who's out, he doesn't want the word of God expounded. But yet in the same time, if we're faithful, we have that vision. And that's what we're looking for this morning and these next several weeks, is we're looking for people that have a vision. And I thought of that as I was preparing this message. You know, what is it, 20-some years ago, there was some brethren that had a vision. And that was a vision for a Bible school. And you and I this morning are experiencing the blessing of that vision. That is what faith is. It's a vision. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 11. Sometimes we think of faith of, we want to stay in our own comfort zone. But here, I'm not sure why, but we're just briefly looking at Genesis 11, verse 31 and 32. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now Terah was Abraham's father. Terah, as I would understand of Bible history, I believe he was an ungodly priest. Why did he take this journey? I'm not sure. But I believe God was helping Abraham to get where he needed to be. The point I'd like for you to grasp this morning is that sometimes we are recipients of faithful parents. Sometimes you may be recipients of something that you can't control, that maybe your parents weren't Christians. And that is, I believe, we have here of Abraham, and we think he was such a noble faith man. But look where he came from. He made his personal choices. We have that going in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Think of all the blessings that we're reading here, the promises, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. You know, this is where we'd like to stop, isn't it? Brother Joe mentioned a little bit of, in his devotional, the thought that comes in the next verse. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. That's as far as we're going to read. This journey that Abraham started out with his father was roughly 600 miles. Now, it wasn't like driving in a vehicle and driving 600 miles, being there in 10, 11, 12 hours. This was a long journey. And so he takes his roughly several hundred miles. But God comes along and he says, Abraham, I want you to move another couple hundred miles. I got work for you over here to do. I want you there for a specific reason. And Abram said, he tells Abram verse 1, he says, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Get away from this ungodliness back here. I have something over here that I'm going to offer you. And he goes along and he gives Abram all these promises. And he says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to bless thee. And by the way, to sit under the downspout of God's blessings is unlimited blessings come down that spout. But so often we remove ourselves from that spout and we can't figure out why life is so miserable. Get back where God wants you to be and then you'll experience the blessings. It doesn't say everything's going to go well. We see that in Abram's life here. And verse 2, the last part, it says, And thou shalt be a blessing. Remember, when God blesses a person's life, we can't contain those blessings. They're going to flow out into to other people. They're going to influence other people. How many of you enjoy being around godly people? Why? Because that channel, that blessing that's flowing through. And then in verse 3, he goes on, he says, I will bless them that bless thee. And he's going to say, I'm going to put a hedge around you. Those that are against you, I'm going to make their life difficult. That is the blessings that Abraham was going to experience. But there was certain requirements before he could experience those blessings. He had to get out of his country. Today, sometimes God takes us out of our comfort zone to do his will. But which one is the most secure place? To be in your own personal comfort zone? Or to be over here in the center of God's will? I'm here to tell you, there is no place so sweet. There's no place so secure. There's no place so blessed as being in the center of God's will. Remember that as you go through life, whatever age bracket you find yourself in this morning. In verse 4 it says, Then Abram moved. He moved his tent. He left his family. He journeyed to this other country, not knowing where he went. Last night, there was some that came around and wanted to know, how do I get from here to there? Why didn't you start out going and then try to figure out where you're going? That's what Abram did. The only place Abram knew where he was going was that distant place. But he was following God's direction. Sometimes in life, we want to get to that destination before God wants us there. So we lay hold of God's hand and we want to run. You know, when our children were small, sometimes you'd be going somewhere and you tell them, you need to hold on daddy's hand. And daddy had to hold tight because they wanted to get away on us. But you let something happen out there and all of a sudden daddy didn't hold the hand anymore. The little child held the hand. Sometimes God allows experiences to come into our life so that we will grasp a hold of his hand, that he doesn't have to always be pulling us back. That's when we lose sight of our living faith. My dear friends, this morning, Faith is not something that you carry in your pocket and you hide it. It's something that's exemplified in everyday walk of life. Here it was with Abraham. Abraham packed his bags before he knew where the destination was. He didn't have a GPS to get him there, but he had a God who was going to take him there. When we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will want to walk when he says walk, and we will want to stay when he says stay. Sometimes we think moving is an act of faith. It's not. Sometimes just plain holding still exemplifies faith. The expression is say we walk by faith, but I believe the expression also would be true that we stay by faith at times. Do not let the comforts of today rob you of the peace in knowing that you are in God's will tomorrow. As we think of this, the promises that we have looked at here, the fact that Abraham moved is not what brought him a blessing. What brought Abraham a blessing and made Abraham a blessing was his obedience to God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there is nothing, understand, there is nothing that replaces obedience to God. You can give everything you want, but if you are not obedient, you have missed the mark. Jesus is a supreme example. When he was there in that garden, he was praying. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He resigned everything he had to obey and to do his Father's will. You know, sometimes you walk up to a building and you would like to enter in, but the door is locked. You need a key to unlock that door so you can get in. Obedience is the key that unlocks the blessings for the tomorrows that are coming. So be faithful, be obedient. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do you this morning in your journey, wherever you're finding yourself in your journey in life, do you believe in the faithfulness of God? If you do, are you willing to do whatever he asks you to do? Are you willing to let him search your life? We see when Abraham reached his destination here in verse 7, he says he built an altar. May we say an altar, I believe, here would speak of a place of worship, a type of worship. He takes these, gathers these stones up, and he makes them a heap, and he has a sacrifice there. He builds an altar there. It doesn't say sacrifice. It's an altar. He builds this, excuse me. He builds this altar as a monument. Think of it later on when people came around, and what does this pile of stone mean? It's a monument of something that God has done for us. Parents, this morning, do you have monuments in your home, what God has done for you, that the rising generation can come up and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, as our forefathers did back there in that cold outdoors, being it spoke a tremendous message to the rising generation. And we think of worship this morning, it took effort. It took time to get here to worship. There's a lot of things maybe you could have done this morning, but trusting you had a desire to worship the one who has redeemed you and has delivered you from the bondage of sin. But then we come down into verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. Why did God allow a famine to come his way when he had just been so marvelously following his faithfulness that was there? As Abraham journeyed down through there, as he went through the desert, as all the things he deprived himself up, and he gets over there, and then there's a famine in the land. And he could say, "Well, why, Lord? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." So if you're experiencing a tough time in life, remember God is showing his love to you. Because if we would have all mountaintop experiences, we may lose control and end up where we didn't want to be. That's what. Do we find that Abraham cursed God here? No. You know, in school, children, sometimes a teacher gives you a quiz. Why does a teacher give you a quiz? They give you a quiz to see if you're going to prepare you for the test. And I think of that so often in life. How often that I've had poor grades on my quizzes. And it makes it difficult to stand the test. Be faithful in the quizzes of life, and it will enable you to stand the tests of time. We go on to Genesis chapter 13. Thank you. And we see here another valley, may we say, in Abram's life. Here he had taken his nephew with him. His nephew becomes greedy and wants to take the monetary things away from him. There was strife out there. But Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man of love. A man of peace. And he walks over there to Lot one day and he says, Lot, you know, there's a lot of strife out there. There's people taking care of our herds. We don't want that. What can we do to remedy the situation? Let's divide this land. And he gives a choice to Lot. And Lot, through his financial glasses, instantly looks at the plains, the well-watered plains, and forgot the souls of his dear children. Today it takes faith to look to the hills, sometimes for our earthly sustenance. But if we keep that in view and we look through the importance of being and providing for the rising generation, a spiritual atmosphere for the rising generations, it will help us to make proper choices. We continue on in Abram's life. Abraham's getting up there, 80, 90, close to 100 years old. Abram was a human man. Journey with him this morning. And as he looks, as he ponders, and he's thinking that God said, God promised me, that he's going to make of me a great nation. Where are my children? Where's my posterity? God promises him a son, and he's given a son. I know we're rapidly going through his life here. Sometime, if you have time, study Abram's life. God gives him a son. This son is working with father. They have a close relationship. I believe Abraham is teaching his son the ways of righteousness. He's teaching his son that there is a God, there's a holy God. By his daily life, he's manifesting his faith in God. One day, God asked Abraham, he said, Abraham, you have one son. I want you to take him and offer him for a sacrifice. What do you think Abraham thought then? God, you promised that you're going to make, that I'm going to have a lot of positive people following after me. Now you're taking my only son. It says Abram got up early in the morning, and his servants and his sons started on this journey. You know, naturally speaking, probably most of us would have had a restless night, kind of been a little slow getting around that morning. But Abraham was so committed to do the Father's will, he was up early in the morning. And as he journeys up through there, finally it's just him and his son Isaac. Isaac says, Father, we have the wood, we have everything, but we don't have the lamb. What do you think went through Abram's heart and mind when he was asked that question? He says, God will provide. I just marvel at that faith. Can you and I this morning, I have never personally experienced anything to that depth. And yet, can I have that full assurance that I could say that God will provide as Abraham did? They continue on the journey. We know what happened. He was ready to slay his son because his devotion and committed to do the Father's will. And God interceded and said, Sarah, spare thy son. There's a ram over there. We know that situation. This is one of the greatest acts in the Old Testament of someone's commitment for obedience. How deep is your faith this morning? How committed are you? How much faith do you have? Faith comes with experience. A little story. In one of the larger cities one time, in an apartment building, there was a fire that was raging. The flames were shooting out the windows. And all of a sudden, the firemen see two children up on the top of the apartment building at the window. And horror struck the firemen. There's lives in here, but the stairways is in flame. So they got a blanket, and the different ones took a hold of this blanket and grasped it very tightly. And they told the children, jump out, we'll catch you. The children stood there in horror. The firemen pled, jump out, we'll catch you. Finally, a man came walking around the corner, and he sees what's happening. And he says, children, jump out. And immediately they jumped. Deliverance. Why? Because those children had faith in their father. Do you get the point this morning? Do you have faith in your father? In your heavenly father? Do you have the confidence that you could journey like Abraham did? Or are you going to hold back to something that's trifling, that's going to vanish away? Those children were protected because of a relationship between father and child. This morning, you and I are to be the children of God. Is he your heavenly father? What is your relationship? Do you have a close relationship? Do you enjoy your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? There's nothing that will replace obedience again. Obedience does not always have immediate rewards, but there is no better place than to be in the center of God's will. Today we're looking, so often we're looking for immediate rewards. We want it here and we want it now. I need it now. But look into the future. That's what I think of this morning. When I think of the blustery weather that's outside and I think of our forefathers that gathered there, they had a vision for the rising generations. And you and I this morning are sitting here in the comforts of a building, protected from those elements. But what is your vision this morning? What is your goal? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How does this tie in with a living faith? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This morning, most of you have the Word of God on your lap this morning. You have access to the Bible, the Word of God. This book is full of promises for the faithful. But this book is also full of judgments that are going to fall upon those who find themselves outside of Jesus Christ when the Lord returns. Those promises, just because God has not dealt out speedily against present wickedness, doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. It goes on, but it says he is long-suffering. This morning, as I think of that long-suffering, it makes me think of Jesus standing up there at the Father's right hand and looking down upon the universe, and he's saying, God, will you wait just a little longer? I want more people to repent. I want more people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what I think of his long-suffering. But also, how often, if we went on in Abram's life, there is times that he wasn't as faithful as he should have been. But how often have you went through the valley of discouragement? How often have you went through a personal trial? And the long-suffering of God is what has kept harsh judgment to fall upon you at that time. But remember, God's long-suffering has limits. It's going to end. And yet, it seems people think they can go their own way. They can do their own thing and spend their own time their own way. But the thing that we have to remember, there's a destiny that is awaiting for each one of us. It's our choice where it's going to be. Same as Abraham. He chose. You can choose the path and accept the destiny, or you can accept the destiny and follow the path. Which is your choice this morning? Abraham chose to do what was right. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, God is calling us to repentance. Why? Because he's coming back someday. And I'm looking forward to someday meeting Abraham and asking him some of those questions about his journeys he took through life. When we can be in the presence of the one who has redeemed us, the one who has made it possible. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is where we often go when we want to find the heroes of faith. This is where we think of the living faith, the faith that has how they have acted what it has done for people. There's many more examples that we could look at in Abram's life, but we're going to just look at briefly some others here as we tie them together. I have a little quote here I would like to read before we read Hebrews chapter 11. God's people are called jewels. A jewel is made from raw material that is exposed to time, heat, and pressure to change it into a valuable gemstone. The stone then must be cut in order for its real beauty to be seen. A craftsman takes a stone, puts it in just the right setting to display its beauty. Be patient and allow God in his time. Chip, polish, and break you. He wants you to be his jewel. When Jesus is shining his light on us, it brings out the beauty of the church. Have you ever seen precious stones somewhere in display? Have you ever noticed how they always have them placed in a certain way that the light illuminates them? And when I think of that, the polishing that's going on in our lives, as we are that raw material is the world, the pressures, the time that we're facing, the pressures of life that come upon us, you know, they're to polish us. And we think, sometimes we think we're about polished up, don't we? And then it comes along and maybe we say, like this little article says, that rock is split to see its real beauty. Maybe we say that God just asks another great task of us and just opens us up. But remember, we're only a gem. And let the light of Jesus Christ shine in your life. Shine upon you. And that brings out the beauty of Christian people. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, listen carefully, this is the inspired word of God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's just pause here briefly. By faith, it is impossible to please him. When you find yourself in life, you come to the end of yourself, and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have full assurance that night or that day when that happens, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. But you're going to have the confidence in Jesus to make that last, and that it can be done. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, but also he is a rewarder. He's going to continue to supply your need. As you take your journey through life, there's ample supply. There's always there what you need. Continuing on in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Another beautiful example. What inspired Noah to build an ark when it had never rained? What is inspiring the Noahs of today to build Christian homes and Christian churches and Christian lives when the Lord has never returned collectively yet? Do you have enough faith this morning? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Verse 8. By faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I love that verse. This morning it says, for he looked. Does your name fit in there? Are you looking for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Human reasoning does not limit what God, the abilities of God. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the faithfulness of one person, the faithfulness of two people, the faithfulness of three people, start doubling those things. How fast does it grow? It says here, as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Because of the right choices and the living faith that Abraham had. Makes me think of a lady that passed away one time. She was a child of God. And I'm thinking she had 900 and some, and most of those were living descendants at the time. There were several that had passed on. But the remarkable thing was, of those 900 descendants, as I recall, a large, large percentage of them were faithful. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't happen without work. But the choice is ours today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Dear youth, this morning, make those choices. As you find companionship, as you journey, make your journey through life. Remember, it's a pebble that's thrown in the water. See how the ripples flow out. It takes faith sometimes not to go with the flow of things and to have a vision. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We're not seeking this country locally here this morning. We're seeking a better country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Brethren and sisters, this morning, you and I can claim that same precious promise. God is not ashamed to be called your God if you're one of his children. And he also has prepared for each one of us a city. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'd like to just look briefly at this account. By faith, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, choosing to discipline himself to make his calling and election sure. He was willing to be identified with God's people rather than to be out there enjoying the pleasures of Egypt. What is that today? What are those things? What are those Egypt pleasures out there today? I think you know many of them. Satan has so many things to offer, but nothing to give. Moses was willing to, may we say, deprive himself of those fleshly lusts, those fleshly pursuits, and to do his Father's will. That's what you call a living faith, a working faith. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We know that account. When they put blood around the doorposts, that what protection. Dear friends, this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ on your doorposts of your heart grants you a lot of protection. But the choice is yours. How much faith do you have? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. As I think of that great wall tumbling down, as I think of, may we say my own words here, this little cottage being protected, I think of that in today's setting, while the world is falling apart, the world is crumbling out there, the world is abounding in wickedness, I'm here to say I'm still thankful that God is still in the protecting business, and He can, when the walls fall down, if you are true and faithful, your house will be secure, and you will find yourself in a secure land. Verse 32, what shall I more say, if the time would fail me, to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, both of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, brethren and sisters, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that we have just read in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's my desire for each one here this morning. Lay aside those things and lay hold on those things that are going to lead us into heaven's pearly gates. Also makes me think of a little article I read one time of two men who found themselves in the Niagara River. And if you know anything about the Niagara Falls, you know how dangerous the river is and how rapid the speed is of the water that's coming down. They were wondering, these boatmen were out there, and they find themselves not able to row the boat anymore. They were losing ground. The boat, I think, capsized. They were floating down, and someone see them and threw a rope out. The one seen the rope, and he grabbed hold of the rope. The other one also seen the rope, but as he was thinking of getting a hold of the rope, it appears a log came floating through, and he grabbed a hold of the log. He went over the falls. The one that grabbed hold of the rope was pulled into safety. This morning, my dear friends, if you're thinking that your own righteousness is going to save you, you're just holding on to the log, and it's a matter of time before you're going to go over the falls and perish. But the lifeline has been thrown out. But it takes faith to grasp that rope and let Jesus pull you into shore. In closing, let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 6. Here is a precious promise that each one can claim who has taken hold of that lifeline this morning. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I leave that as a closing thought. I have the confidence in my God this morning that the work he has started in your life, he is able to continue to perfect you and to give you the courage as long as you journey here in this life. May the Lord bless you.